Today, the Department of Army, Joe Allen Darcy, contacted me and said the Corps of Engineers is going to deny the easement.
You pray to experience this, but when it actually happened, I don't know what to feel. I really don't. I can't even come up with the words right now.
Joyful protesters from Standing Rock yesterday. That last voice was Brandy King, an Iraq vet who'd come to defend the land with protesters, courtesy of PRI reporter Jasmine Garst. The Army Corps of Engineers said that the pipeline in question will be rerouted to come nowhere near Indian land, and a full environmental impact statement will be done suggesting that the pipeline may never be built at all. Over 2,000 veterans have arrived at the site to act as human shields during any confrontations between police and protesters. Filmmaker Josh Fox returned from his second trip to Standing Rock and was in our studio. He's director of the film Gasland, and victory was all over his face.
Who's giving up? Nobody.
But who's blinking? The government seems to have blinked here.
No, it's not about blinking. This is about resistance actually working. And we've seen this time and time again in the environmental movement, and now for certainly with this indigenous sovereignty struggle with the Standing Rock Sioux tribe combined with climate activists and fracking activists. When we organize, we win. When we put our bodies on the line, we win. When people embody the spirit of peaceful resistance, which you've seen in so many of these historic struggles across history, we win. So that's what's happening today.
Well, in the sacred land argument, they could move the pipeline, and that will deal with that. But the use of the pipeline as a fossil fuel source of our energy doesn't change the environmental equation at all.
Well, I don't know if that's true. I mean, and it remains to be seen. An environmental impact study is something that's really a thing. You know, that takes a while to complete.
So the possibility exists that the pipeline wouldn't be built at all.
I think so. And I think Energy Transfer Partners kind of deserves it for literally bulldozing through their way through sacred lands. I mean, this tribe notified the Energy Transfer Partners that they were approaching a sacred burial ground. And the day that they did that, they accelerated their construction to literally bulldoze it on purpose. And then you saw them defending that with attack dogs, which actually bit protesters. The government of North Dakota, along with Energy Transfer Partners, has been behaving as a rogue establishment without any regard for peace, for safety, certainly for the environment. So when you do that, which is so typical of oil and gas, it is the only thing that's remarkable about this decision is actually sanity has prevailed and the government has actually stood up to the oil and gas industry, which very, very rarely happens. But all credit goes to the peaceful protectors who put themselves on the line to actually block the pipeline physically and did this for months on end while being shot at with rubber bullets and tear gas and mace and pepper spray and water cannons at 20 degree temperatures, exposed to lethal force when they were unarmed and peaceful.
What's the precedent here? What has been seen by the federal government and the Army Corps to have been the supreme law of the land here?
Yeah. Well, I think that the precedent is when a company behaves in the way that Energy Transfer Partners has been doing and literally using the police as their own private security firm. Remember, Kelsey Warren, the billionaire at the head of this pipeline, has offered to reimburse the North Dakota Police Department for their expenses. If that's not hiring, you know, the cops as your own private security force for your billion-dollar environmentally insane oil pipeline project, I don't know what is. So the precedent is when you behave in this way, as the oil industry does very typically throughout the United States, fracking, pipelines, mountaintop removal, all the things that the extractive energy industry does, the precedent is, okay, wait a minute, stop. We're in the 21st century now. You simply can't bulldoze people. You can't run over indigenous rights. You can't run over human rights in your quest, especially now that we don't need oil pipelines, right? We have other technologies. We have wind, we have solar, we have geothermal. We have other ways of producing energy that are far more environmentally friendly, and people want them.
What message was sent by the veterans who showed up over the last few days and really said that this was a constitutional struggle that they fought in Iraq for these values, and they support the native tribes?
What the veterans did was they exposed the deep racism and violence of the North Dakota police force, the Morton County Sheriff's Office. Because what they were saying is, you want to shoot at people? You want to shoot at unarmed folks? You want to take rubber bullets and water cannons and throw concussion grenades at people? Do it through us. We're the people who has stood up for the Constitution. And one of them, I think, brilliantly said, we took an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So what that person was saying, what that veteran was saying was, the Energy Transfer Partners is an enemy to the United States Constitution. And I would agree with that, because these people would rather torch our civil rights and our human rights than stop the flow of oil from the Bakken Shale in North Dakota, which, as I said, is unnecessary and is one of those things that will spiral climate change out of control.
There are murals all over the Northwest that tell the story of agreements made and broken between tribes and the federal government. Do you think this will turn out that way?
I don't know. I mean, I think, look, this is a temporary victory, but the power of the people is never temporary. So we're seeing people who are not going to leave until finally this pipeline is defeated. And, you know, today was the day that the Army Corps of Engineers and the North Dakota governor was to say, you are going to be evicted from this protest camp. Today happens to be the birthday of General Custer. So the irony is not lost on the fact that just as Custer was defeated, so this pipeline will be. And that, I think, is really one of the takeaways to learn from this today.
You smiling, idealistic, not a speck of cynicism in you.
Well,
Josh Fox.
To be honest, you know, when you're on the front lines and you're staring down a militarized police force and you see people all around you, and I did this as a reporter. One of my colleagues, Aaron Schrody, shot in the back by a rubber bullet in the middle of an interview. You see people being tear gassed. You see people who are saying to police, we are praying for you, and they're getting maced and pepper sprayed. You can't do anything but smile when you see that this is actually working. It is a remarkable thing, because every day is a victory when you're in the middle of that.
Josh Fox is the director of Gasland, Gasland 2, and most recently, How to Let Go of the World and Love All the Things Climate Can't Change. He recently returned from the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation in North Dakota, where he was filming the protests there. Thanks so much, Josh.
Well, it's great to be here. Thanks.